Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 3, entitled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, text number 18. I have a busy day today, so we will have only one of the men chanting and only one of the ladies. Whoever is first. Ajajajadharmasutam. Asvamedas tribir vibhu Sopiksam anuji sorry Sopiksam anuji Sopiksam anujai raksam Reme Krishna anugata Aya Jaya, made to perform Dharma Sutam by the son of Dharma, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Asvamedha by horse sacrifices, Tribhi, Vibhu, the Supreme Lord. Saha Maharaj Yudhisthira Api also Sunam the earth Anujai assisted by his brothers by his younger brothers Raksam protecting Reme enjoy it Krishnam Krishna the personality of Godhead. Anuvrataha, constant follower. The Supreme Lord induced the son of Dharma to perform 3 horse sacrifices. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, constantly following Krishna, the personality of Godhead, protected and enjoyed the earth, assisted by his younger brother. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the ideal monarchical representative on the earth because he was a constant follower of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. As stated in the Vedas, Isupanishad, the Lord is the proprietor of the entire manifested cosmic creation, which presents a chance for the conditioned souls to revive their eternal relationship with the Lord and thus go back to Godhead back home. The whole system of the material world is arranged with that program and plan. Anyone who violates the plan is punished by the laws of nature, which is acting by the direction of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhisthira was installed on the throne of the earth as a representative of the Lord. The king is always expected to be the representative of the Lord. Perfect monarchy necessitates representation of the supreme will of the Lord. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was the ideal monarch on this supreme principle. Both the king and the subjects were happy in the discharge of worldly duties and thus protection of the citizens and enjoyment of natural life with full cooperation of material nature following the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira and his worthy descendants like Maharaj Parikshit. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshura Miritam Yanantas Maheshi Gurave Namah Shri Krishna Titanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vedagadadar Sri Vasudeva Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna has a plan. And that plan is to somehow or other bring all living beings back to the spiritual world. So as part of Krishna's plan, he protects the devotees and he upholds the principles of Dharma. And throughout the universe, he protects his agents who are acting on his behalf to protect the principles of Dharma. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the chosen person, and Krishna made so many arrangements to protect him, to look after him, as he did with Arjuna. Krishna was all the time there. There's that nice story about the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. It's all over. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, get down from your chariot. Take your bow and your arrows and get down from the chariot. Arjuna gets down. Next moment, the whole chariot goes up in flames. Excuse me. Just then, Arjuna said, but how is this possible? This chariot has been invincible. No astras could destroy it. So many weapons were fired at it, and nothing could happen to this chariot. How can this chariot burn now? It's not possible. Krishna said, the chariot should have burned long ago. But all along, I was protecting it. And now that the battle is over, now I am withdrawing my protection. So now, what was destined to happen is happening. And all along, Krishna thought that that chariot that was given to him by Agni was invincible. But actually it wasn't. It was Krishna who was unknowingly protecting him all throughout. And this is how Krishna acts with his devotees. Unknowingly, Krishna protects us. Just like we are in this age of Kali, surrounded by Maya. And still, we can manage to stay devotees. Only, no, I don't take those. They are not vegetarian, I'm sorry to tell you. The one with the stripes, they have magnesium stearate. You can look. Look if it has magnesium stearate. And if it does, you can read on the internet and magnesium stearate, sometimes vegetarian, sometimes not. So, no gambling is one of the regulative principles. but there's another one with sugar. They're okay. They don't have magnesium stearate. So Krishna protects his devotees, even if unknowingly some impurity slips in our life. An innocent, you know, devote kirtan singer friend turns out to be not innocent. What can you do? 1 year in Vrindavan, his Holiness Sridhar Maharaj gave the Bhagavatam class. And during that class, at one point, he begins, you know, I feel that I have to speak for a long time. For a long time, I kept it to myself, but I can no longer. I can no longer keep this to myself. I feel I have to open my heart and reveal the truth, whatever the consequences may be. He's like, oh, what's he going to say now? And then he said, it happened last year in France. And we go, oh no. And he's telling of the on the Vyasa song like this. It happened last year in France, he said. I broke the regulative principles. Oh no. He said, yes, I ate Danone yogurt. He said, usually it's vegetarian. But during that period, they could not get the normal ingredients and they added some thickeners So how difficult it is in this age of Kali to follow, even if one desires to follow. Because everything is adulterated, everything is polluted with so many products. Tomatoes with scorpion genes. Big potatoes, the big ones. Guess which genes they have? You've got it. Pig genes. And when you eat those potatoes long enough, after a while, you begin to notice your nose is getting a bit more round. A little itch at the back of the spine, where the tail is coming out. A little tail, small, just a little curl, can be surgically removed. It's a small thing, not very painful at all. Yes. Where are we heading? Where are we going? Maybe it's time to start farming. But even that is difficult because when the neighbors are using genetically engineered things, it blows over onto your fields as well. Krishna, 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 protect us, protect us, protect us. Yes, Krishna protects his devotees. But they must try to protect themselves. So we see that Maharaj Yudhisthira was protected by Krishna, who made arrangements for him to become the emperor of the world. Arjuna was protected. There were greater warriors than Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It was not that Arjuna was the best of all warriors. Bhishma Dev could not have been defeated without a trick. Karna could have not been defeated if he was not cursed. Drona Acharya could have not been defeated if he would have continued the fight. So by trick, they made Yudhisthira say, Krishna made Yudhisthira say, Asvatthama, the elephant is dead. And during the elephant, conch shells blowing. So Drona Acharya heard it, Asvatthama is dead, from the mouth of Yudhisthira. Then it is true, because Yudhisthira has never spoken any untruth. His chariot is not touching the ground. Yudhisthira, he is riding his chariot, but it's not touching the ground, because he never spoke a lie in his life. That is Yudhisthira. When Yudhisthira says that Asvatthama, my son, is dead, then it is true. Even although Yudhisthira stands here on the battlefield in front of me as an enemy, there is no doubt that he will not lie, not even to his enemy. That is Yudhisthira. Then Drona Acharya lost the will to fight. Then, only then. In that way Arjuna could win by Krishna's help, by Krishna's arrangements. And even against Bhima, against Bhishma, Krishna had to break his vow. Because Krishna had promised that I will not fight in this battle. I will not fight. No, he wasn't fighting. He was doing politics. The chariot driver of Arjuna. And Krishna, but Bhishma fought in such a way that Arjuna would have been killed. Krishna picked up a chariot wheel and stormed at Bhishma Dev and broke his vow. In this way, to protect his devotee, that is more important even than principles of Dharma to Krishna. For that, he'll do anything. He'll lose his reputation to save his devotee. So there is no doubt that Krishna protects his devotees. Rakshishya titi visvaso. And we think, yes, this is very nice. Krishna protects his devotees. But am I a devotee? Well, and in this way, therefore, will he protect me? This doubt we have. But don't forget that we don't measure who is a devotee by our standards. We measure who is a devotee by the standards of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who chants the holy name once is a devotee. If anyone didn't chant yet, this is the opportunity to give it a go. I mean, you know, just once, say, Hare Krishna. I hope everyone was part of it, even Hare Krishna. Then you're a devotee. Too late now. Whoever chanted is a devotee. There is no escape. Yes, even the children can chant today before they go. Did you chant? Hey, before you go, say Hare Krishna. Tell her to say Hare Krishna before you go. Say it. Bolo. Otherwise she cannot. Not allowed. Mother too soft. What to do? Yes, Krishna is merciful. So Krishna accepts us as devotees. So therefore, Rakshasya Titi Viswaso, we can be sure Krishna will protect us. Yes, he will protect us definitely, even from ourselves. Because we are our own greatest enemy. That is the problem. But Krishna will even protect us from ourselves. That's the part we don't like. But anyway, somehow or other, that is required. That is required. So that protection of Krishna can come in many ways. Sometimes it said, sometimes Krishna is soft like a rose, and other times hard like a thunderbolt. Vajrat apikatura. Whatever may be, but we always see it. Krishna is merciful. Krishna is kind. No one like Krishna. One day a devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, you are our best friend. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm not your best friend. Krishna is your best friend. He said, because I may disappoint you, but Krishna will never disappoint you. Because he's omniscient. He's omniscient. So Krishna will never disappoint us. But some people, some devotees, when some great calamity happens in their life, they become angry with Krishna. Krishna, why? Why this is happening to me? How can such a thing happen to me? I gave you my whole life and now this is happening. I mean, no, this is not fair. This is not fair. But Krishna is always our well-wisher. So we should not doubt that Krishna, even when he sends us difficulty, he's still our well-wisher. It means that for some reason or other, we must have done something to deserve it. How can this happen to a devotee? But somehow or other, we must need this purification. Maharaj Chittaketu was such a nice devotee. He had become such a great devotee. Remember, he was the one whose son died. He couldn't have a son. Then finally, he had many wives, still no son. Finally, Narada Muni came and said, okay, I can give you a benediction that you'll get a son who will give you both happiness and distress. Well, every son is like that, you know. He said, I'll take him. Then the son was born by the blessings of Narada from the favorite queen. But then what happened was, the other queens, they became envious to a point where they thought that she will be the favorite of the king and we will be neglected by the king. Because the king so much wanted a child, and now he has one, and he'll never look at us again. So,
They poisoned the child. And the child died. The king and the queen, the mother and father in the greatest distress, hair in disarray, fasting, total misery. Narada appeared again. And Narada said, "What is the cause of your grief? Why you are so overwhelmed by grief? Our son has died." Then Narada called the son back. And the son sat up and came back to life. And then that son started to speak and said, Why have you called me?" Narada said, "We have called you back because your parents, they couldn't bear separation from you. That is why we have called you back." Then the child said, "My parents? Which parents? I've had so many parents in so many births, in so many lives. Which parents?" Then Maharaj Chitaketu, that hit him. You know, when the child said that, suddenly he reeled and he became detached. And after that, he became a great devotee, a great pure devotee. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him with a special vimana, a special plane which could fly through the sky. And he flew to the heavenly regions. And there, when he reached these heavenly regions, he saw Lord Shiva and Parvati. And Lord Shiva and Parvati were in an assembly of sages. Lord Shiva was not dressed at the time. He was naked. And so was Parvati. And Parvati was sitting on his lap. And the sages were sitting around them. So Chitaketu Maharaj, seeing this, made a remark and said, "How amazing that Lord Shiva can sit like that in an undressed state with his wife on his lap in front of sages." Parvati took it that he was criticizing. "So, you are criticizing Lord Shiva?" She cursed him. "You are not suitable to be here in a devotee. You are actually having a mentality suitable for a demon, for an asura. May you become an asura." In this way, he was cursed. Then Maharaj Chitaketu, he had the power to counter-curse. He could have counter-cursed, but he did not. He said, "Mother, actually, you have misunderstood. Actually, there was no criticism. I was simply trying to point out how amazing Lord Shiva is. Nothing more. You misunderstood." And Chitaketu humbly, he said, "But I will accept your curse, since this is your desire." And Lord Shiva spoke and said to Parvati, "He has defeated you. He has defeated you. He is greater than you. He has not retaliated. He has simply tolerated your curse." And then, in a next situation, this demon was created. This demon was created by an angry Brahmana for some reason, which I will not discuss today. And this demon was Vritasura. He was enormous, with red copper hair, and his mouth was up, gaping and open with horrible teeth, and he looked like enormous. And everyone ran in all directions just by seeing him. He was so powerful. Everyone was praying to Indra, "Indra, you must do something. Indra, you are the ruler. You are the king of the universe. Indra." you will have to take some action in just saying, well, actually, you know, I mean, I have to visit my auntie. I haven't been there for a long, long time. See, auntie is not well. No, Indra, no. Indra, you have to take action. You have to do something. So, Indra appeared on his elephant, Airavata, in front of this demon. Airavata was trembling. Indra was perspiring, and Indra was ready to run. Then Vritasura said, Indra, Indra, do not be afraid. You can fight. You can actually win this battle with your weapon, the Vajra, the thunderbolt. You can actually be victorious. Fight. Do not be afraid. And it was a terrible fight. Because actually, it was Chitraketu in the body of this demon, still a devotee at heart, and totally transcendental, but in a horrible demon body. So he didn't want to be in that body. He was ready to be defeated. And when Indra finally did kill him, and it was a great relief, and all the demigods were quite happy, actually, Vritasura was the most happy, because the demigods were attaining the heavenly planets, but he was attaining the eternal abode of the Lord. So who was the winner in the fight? So we see how interesting that Chitraketu was taking shelter of the Lord and protected by the Lord. Even although the Lord somehow or other put him through this difficulty, but actually the Lord did not forsake him. One could say, but he was a devotee. How could this happen to a devotee? The Lord abandoned him and threw him in this misery. Although he was dedicated to him and undeserved, he had to go through this. How was the Lord protecting him? But the Lord was protecting him. And at the end, he went back to Godhead. And it is said that he had to go through this, not because of curse of Parvati, that was only the external reason. But he had to go through this because there was a need for him to be purified from so much karma. And therefore Krishna arranged it that he came in a very intense situation and he was very quickly purified of so much karma so that he became eligible to go back to Godhead. Krishna is always our well-wisher. Always, no matter what happens, always. Therefore, never become angry with Krishna. That is a mistake. That is a great mistake. We are small, just like here on this floor, there are squares. And everyone is sitting on a square, like a piece on a chessboard is standing on a little square. The piece on the chessboard cannot oversee the game. He can only see the pieces that are around him. He cannot see everything, but the player can oversee the entire game. In the same way, Krishna can oversee the entire game, we cannot oversee. So we should not just throw our arms in the air and say, how can this happen to me? How can this happen to me? I've given everything to Krishna, how can this happen to me? No, Krishna, he understands. Krishna knows who we were in our last lives. We don't know. Krishna knows everything. He knows what we did. We don't know. Krishna knows everything. Krishna will never want to give us unnecessary suffering. Never ever. So whatever our burden may be, we must somehow or other endure it. Endure it with great faith. With great faith. And we should realize that when we are devotees and we're going through special difficulties, we should realize Krishna has favored me. He has favored me. He's making arrangements for my purification. I am fortunate. He's given me special attention, special mercy. That
that's a transcendental vision.
That we should, in that way, we should take. We should take any hardships, knowing that Krishna always protects us. And that knowledge is the greatest comfort. And with great faith, we must be very, very sure about that. Krishna is always protecting us. Even when we don't know, he's protecting us. He's protecting us. Yeah, but some devotees die. Even in terrible situations, they die. Didn't Krishna protect them? Where was Krishna? Where was Krishna? Didn't he protect? Where was Krishna? Krishna was there. Krishna did protect. Wow, he didn't. He didn't. The devotee died. He didn't protect. No, he didn't protect him actually. No. Didn't protect this devotee at all. No, this devotee died. Yeah. No protection whatsoever. Just died. We've seen devotees that were murdered. Murdered. How can a devotee be murdered? Krishna didn't protect. Oh yes, he did protect. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, yes, no, yes. He did. Then, how did he protect? He didn't protect the body, but he did protect the soul. He protected the soul.
He never abandoned that soul. Never, ever.
Krishna never abandons his devotee. The body, okay. Sooner or later, it's got to come to an end, you know. I mean, that has to happen, these bodies. And, well, just as well, oh my God. What can happen to a material body? That's amazing. And it does happen. So it's not that good, you know. Who wants to keep it? Let's, whenever it's the time, let's get out of this body. That's not a problem. Saved me. I don't know. More time in the material body. But Krishna is saving the soul. That is really the essence. And that, yeah. That's wonderful. That faith we must have. And we must solidify. It begins with knowledge. First we hear it. See, and we think about it. Alright. I never thought of that. Okay, I see. Krishna's protecting the soul. Oh. So one cannot just have that faith instantly. We have to hear it and think about it. And then after we've thought about it, I think, yeah, that's a fact. Then we can have firm faith. Firm, yes. And we see that the great devotees, they take it like that. That's the secret of the great devotees. That's how they are, abhayam, fearless. Because they know Krishna protects the soul. And then you have that, in the Bhagavatam, the story of that sage, Dadichi. Dadichi, he was a very great, powerful devotee. And he was living in higher planetary regions, and one day, the demigods, they needed also to kill some demon, and they needed a weapon. And they were told by some exalted personality that they should make a weapon of the bones of Dadichi. So they came to Dadichi. He said, "My dear Dadichi, you are such a great sage. Please accept our humble obeisances. Please, we worship your lotus feet, Dadichi. We are always your dedicated servants. Oh, my dear Dadichi, we've come to request you for some charity." "Ah, yes," Dadichi says, "yes. Whatever you desire." "Well, actually, you know, we would like your bones." "Now, if someone comes for our bones, we go, wait a minute, not my bones, you know, I mean, ooh, you know." That's when the karate comes out, right? "Okay, you know, I'll give you some of my bones." "Wait a minute, you want my bones. Adichie was different. Adichie said, yes, that's okay. Just give me a moment. Let me first give up this body, and then you can have the bones. So Dadichi means the one who gave. The one who gave. Dadichi. The one who gave. Actually, that's the meaning of the word. Yeah. Just see what his faith was. He had full faith. The Lord will protect the soul. He will protect my soul. So it okay, the demigods want this body. They can have it. No problem. Yes. But let me voluntarily give it up. You know, that's, otherwise they get implicated in sinful reactions. So, like that. He was totally detached. Unaffected. This is full-fledged transcendence. How far-reaching is this transcendental consciousness? That's just amazing. I have to end this class now because time is moving and I have little time today. So any question, any comment?
Why devotees fall down?
Why devotees fall down? Because we are independent. We are very small. And the material energy is the reflection of Krishna's unlimited spiritual energy. And therefore that material energy is very powerful. Because it, as the reflection, it gets its power of the origin. And the original spiritual energy of Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. Therefore, the reflection of it is also very attractive. Therefore, Maya is very attractive. Therefore, devotees, they are prone to fall down. They're prone to fall down. Only Krishna can protect them. Daivye sagunamayi mama maya durateya. This divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. It's only through Krishna that we can be delivered from that. Therefore, at every moment, we need shelter. Alone, we are too small to face the unlimited power of Maya. When we are alone, Maya will find an entrance. Even if we are so strong, whoever is not depending on Krishna cannot maintain after some time. Maya will defeat. There will be one day, that a day of weakness. They call it, there's this Christian mystic, St. John of the Cross, who spoke about the dark night of the soul. Right? Meaning, when the doubts set in, and so on, and when the fall down. So that will come if we don't take shelter of Krishna. So we become neglectful. That's why we fall down. We become offensive. And the offenses destroy our taste. They destroy, and then no more taste in bhakti. And then everything becomes difficult. And offenses can even create new material desires. An uttam, if committing offenses can go down to madhyam, a madhyam can go down to kanista, adhikari, like that. We can fall down in stages. We don't necessarily just fall down. We just commit offense here, offense there, become careless here, become careless there, and no worries, There's that, the worries are all a bunch of this and a bunch of that. And you want to see my website, where I expose everything that's wrong with the Vaishnavas. And then one day, and then little by little, offense, bring us to the edge, bring us to the point where we just one day. And then it is that Krishna Bhaya Mugahaya Bhogavan Chakara Nikitistamaya Tara Japatiyahaya. When you are looking at the material energy, flirting with the material energy, you don't fall down. Maya will slap you down. When you get too close to the edge, she will slap you down. That's Jagadananda Pandit in the Prema Vivartam. That was a shocking statement. When I read that one, I thought, oh, watch out. This is not just, you know, that you fall down. Maya slaps you down as well. Oh my God. I never thought of that. Oh. Maybe have to make some adjustments. You see. So it begins with just being respectful to the Vaishnavas, avoiding offenses, and staying away from Maya as much as possible. Do not unnecessarily get involved with Maya. It's like, you know, I watch these movies and yeah, I know there's a few scenes in them, you know. I mean, that are not really appropriate, but anyway, you know, I mean, it doesn't do anything to me. I'm totally not affected by it. That's not effect. What happens is, you're picking up some seeds. It may not come out immediately, but you pick up seeds, and these seeds will fructify later, and then it will all come out. So that's another thing about fall downs. Now, you see the temptation, it doesn't do anything to me. Yes, but the seed is inside and now starts to eat away at your determination. The wheat begins to slowly grow and strangle your bhakti creeper. Slowly, over time, you see. So it's very tricky how we fall down. It's not instant. But if we remain respectful, if we remain careful in our dealings with the material energy, Krishna protects, the Vaishnavas protect. One story, and then I really have to go. Boy, it's late already. What to do? Such is life. There was a pujari in Mayapur in the early days worshipping Radha Madhava. And he was a grihastha, had a family, a few children. And one day, he went to an astrologer. And this astrologer said that, he looked at his chart, he said, and his palm, and he said, within 3 months from now, you will leave your family and you'll start a new family. He said, come on. That's too much. And time went by. 6 months went by. Nothing happened, you know. He's a useless astrologer, you know what I mean. And one day he was again in Calcutta and he walked past the astrologer and he thought, let me drop in and let me tell him, you know what I mean, that his prediction didn't come true. So he said, you know, you made that prediction within 3 months, leave my family. So he said, nothing happened. 6 months passed, nothing happened. The astrologer said, okay, let me do a calculation and see why. So he did a calculation and he said, according to the calculation, it shows that the deity that you're worshipping has protected you. Yeah. I could have said that also, you know. So he didn't immediately believe it. He said he's just a quack, you know. But then shortly after that, he got a business offer. And the business offer meant that he had to move to Calcutta and he gave up his service to the deity that he had been worshipping for many years, Radha Madhava in Mayapur. and he went to do business, and then it happened. Within 2 months, this lady appeared, and somehow or other, you know, it was Kamadev, Cupid, and this and that, and you know, and he left his family, and he left everything, and started a new life somewhere else. And okay, that may happen, and I mean, I hope that everything is going well for him and for everyone else. The reason why I'm telling the story is to show that the deity actually did protect. The deity did protect all along. So Radha Vallabha is protecting us here. Radha Vallabha knows very well who comes from Mangalarti. Oh yes, they come every day from Mangalarti. That one never comes. No, that one. But the one who comes every day, I'll give some special protection. Yes. The other one, a little less. Ye yatamam paparite tamstateva bhajamiya. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. That's Radha Vallabha. Very personal. Anyway, Gunitaya, very merciful. Very merciful. And their influence, you see, even in Mayapur, when you say something and then you hear it, then the lizards are confirming. Then it's true. So, and because Gaur Nitai are the presiding deities of the Yuga, their influence touches all the others also. So therefore even Radha Krishna are especially merciful now. Radha Vallabha are especially merciful at the moment. And Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra also. So there's a lot of mercy to get. And that protects us.